What a wonderful morning.
It's like, if you're a visitor or new to us, this is kind of in a chaotic, wonderful glory. Yeah, we worship, we celebrate, we mourn, we do all sorts of things. We're not slick, but actually, I don't want to be slick. It's fab. So this is kind of what we do. So welcome very much. We've been studying. I'll give this to Angela. We've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read, it's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read from Luke chapter 3. We've had, last week we were talking about baptism, we've had in the wilderness, we've eaten nasty things with Jeff, we've talked about kind of the Magnificat, and we've gone back and done the history, and then we've done all sorts of things, but we're up to chapter 3 verse 23, and I expect a round of applause when I finish this. So are you ready? So open your Bibles. So the ancestors of Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was a son of Heli. Heli was a son of Mattat. Mattat was a son of Levi. Levi was a son of Melchi. Melchi was a son of Janai. Janai was a son of Joseph. Joseph was a son of Mattathias. Mattathias was a son of Amos. Amos was a son of Nahum. Nahum was a son of Elsli. Elsli was a son of Nagai. Nagai was a son of Marth. Marth was a son of Mattathias. Mattathias was a son of Semin. Semin was a son of Joshes. Joseph was a son of Yoda was a son of Yohanan. Yohanan was a son of Reza. Reza was a son of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a son of Shetiel. Shetiel was a son of Neri. Neri was a son of Melchi. Melchi was a son of Adi. Adi was a son of Kosam. Kosam was a son of Eldaham. Eldaham was a son of Er. Er was a son of Joshua. Joshua was a son of Eliezer. Eliezer was a son of Jorim. Jorim was a son of Mattat. Mattat was a son of Levi. Levi was a son of Simeon. Simeon was a son of Judah. Judah was a son of Joseph. Joseph was a son of Jonam. Jonam was a son of Eliakim. Eliakim was a son of Meliah. Meliah was a son of Mena. Mena was a son of Mattatha. Mattatha was a son of Nathan. Nathan was a son of David. David was a son of Jesse. Jesse was a son of Obed. Obed was a son of Boaz. Boaz was a son of Salmon. Salmon was a son of Nahshon. Nahshon was a son of Amminadab. Amminadab was a son of Admin was a son of Arni. You didn't realize Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the Bible, did you? Arni was a son of Hezron. Hezron was a son of Perez. Perez was a son of Judah. Judah was a son of Jacob. Jacob was a son of Isaac. Isaac was a son of Abraham. Abraham was a son of Terah. Terah was a son of Nahor. Nahor was a son of Serug. Serug was a son of Ru. Ru was a son of Peleg. Peleg was a son of Eber. Eber was a son of Shelah. Shelah was a son of Canaan. Canaan was a son of Arphaxax was a son of Shem. Shem was a son of Noah. Noah was a son of Lamech. Lamech was a son of Methuselah. Methuselah was a son of Enoch. Enoch was a son of Jared. Jared was a son of Mahalalel. Mahalalel was a son of Kenan. Kenan was a son of Enosh. Enosh was a son of Seth. Seth was a son of Adam. And Adam was a son of God. Yes! So you'd be very glad I didn't give that anybody else as well. It's like, so why have I just read that? Well, part of it was when I order up the sermons, I gave it myself. You know, when you do something, and you think, why did I do that? I should have given it Jeff or somebody like that. No. And again, there was lots of context I was going to go through this morning. I'm going to cut it all, and I'm going to crack on, really. Last week we talked about baptism, yeah? And actually, I'm just going to read the section again in chapter 3, just before this long list of names. And it says, one day when the crowd were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized, and he was praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and bring me great joy.
Now, if you have not been baptized, we would love to baptize you. And a lot of what Silvanus was talking about was obedience in that section of scripture. But actually, one of the big thrusts of that scripture, which I love, is that you see Jesus in community with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? In community. And actually, the Trinity is so important because without the Trinity, you don't get love. The only reason, the logical reason that you were created, that mankind was created, was for love. Yeah, so God the Father, love God the Holy Spirit, love God the Son so much in family that they wanted to share that love, so they created human beings, Adam and Eve. That is why. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need you to do anything. He doesn't need worship. He's self-sufficient. But actually, that is the only reason we were created. So in that Trinity, in that section, you've got the community within the Trinity of God celebrating the obedience of Jesus being baptized. Isn't that exciting? That community. And then we've got this long list of names, of people. And there's lots of really interesting... Actually, if you open the commentaries about this, there isn't a lot. It just basically says, it's a long list of names. There's not many preached about this, but there are interesting things about this. There's two genealogies in the Gospels. One is in Matthew, one is in Luke. And again, Luke is making the point that Matthew's genealogy starts with Abraham. Well, finishes with Abraham because he wants to link him with the Jewish people. Luke's goes all the way back to Adam and to God. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Why? Because Luke is saying that Jesus is the Messiah for all people. Whether you're Gentiles or Jews. We're Gentiles, unless there's any Jewish people here. Yeah? So he was the Messiah. He's coming for him. There's 41 generations in Luke. There's 76. There's 41 in Matthew, there's 76 in Luke. There's a lot. Yeah, and it really, as well, thinking about it, Luke, we've been saying he's writing a legal document. Jesus was the legal son of Joseph. So he's writing out a document to show that Jesus was born of a man. That it is fully man, fully God. So what am I going to say? So what was your prophetic word, Philippa? What did... Family. What does this passage do? It links Jesus to a people and community. Yeah, so Jesus was part... This God was part of a family. He was descended. He was part of a people. Part of a people. Isn't it really... God always steals my preach before I do it. So when I was praying and thinking about it... Yeah, I thought these are all about community. Community within the Trinity, within God, and community and family. This passage is in fact. So this week, particular, has been really on my heart, has been family, church. Family. And actually, even the previous stories, so Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph and all this, all happens in a family context, doesn't it? It happens in a family context. And again, so I want to talk about family. Yeah. Now, a few years ago, the church... We looked at different aspects of the church. We said the church was a body. Do you know what? You are Jesus' body. Yeah? So if you want Jesus to move, some of that requires you to be his hands and his feet. So it does. It really does. Because you are his body. And some of you are hands, some of them are feet, some of them are noses. Not literally. And some of them are legs. So you're all different. God has made you all... We're not all the same. We're not all a nose. We're not all a hands. We're not all feet. Yeah, but that's the church. The church, the community that you're part of, is the bride of Christ. Do you know what? It's like Jesus loves the church. God the Father, it was his idea, and he loves it so much he's going to marry it. Yeah? So you can't be a Christian without becoming part of the community of church. That's how much Jesus died for the church. It's his bride. I love Lisa very, very much. You know what? Jesus loves the church so much more. Yeah, more than that, we were the perfect love. That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, we're a temple. The church is a temple. Do you know what? We're filled with the Holy Spirit. There isn't a temple in Israel anymore. Well, unless they rebuild it or do something, I don't know. But actually, the Holy Spirit dwells in his people. You are carriers of his Spirit and the kingdom of God. You are kingdom carriers. Yeah, that's the church. It's exciting, isn't it? That's one of the things that he talks about. You're a lampstand. Let your good deeds shine out. I know a lot of people who do good things that aren't Christians for their glory. We're to do good deeds exactly the same as all people, but we give glory for Jesus. And that is the difference. Let your good deeds shine out, yeah? And finally, my favourite one, I believe the church is a party. It's a party. I remember a really good preacher, Mike Pilavachi, talking about that the church is almost like a wedding party, yeah? And we're all dancing and enjoying and having a fantastic time. We're to enjoy God. We're in to enjoy each other. We're to dance. Yeah, that's good. Church shouldn't be boring. Shouldn't be miserable. Yeah? Sometimes it moans, but it shouldn't be miserable. It's joyous. It's a party. Yeah? And finally, church is a family, isn't it? Church is a people. Yeah, you're a people. Do you think you belong to a people? Yeah? Looking very quiet. Yeah? So here are just some things I thought about family. Do you know what? You don't choose your family, do you? You're kind of stuck with them. Yeah? And it's the same within reason with the church, yeah? So you can't control who is part of your church family. Is that true? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? So do you know what? Family is something that you are part of rather than something that you go to. Yeah? So whether you come or not or whatever, there are people that really struggle to come. This is more like Jeanette, if you pull up, but she's still part of our family. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's not something that you go to, it's something that you are part of. Are you part of the church family? Yeah, it's really, really important. Being part of a family is about who you are and not what you do. Who you are and not what you do. Your value does not come from what you do. Your value comes from who you are. You are children of God, of the Most High God of the universe. Whether you're the most talented person and can do everything, or whether you're just really struggling, you're a child of God. And you are, if you sat here, you're my brother and sister in Christ. Yeah? Yeah, that's family. That's so important. We're bound together by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and that reaches across cultures. I'm looking at lots of different cultures, traditions. You know, I'm a brother and sister in Christ with the patriarch of the Orthodox Church. He's a brother in Christ. I'm with the wildest Pentecostal church in America. I'm a brother. He's a brother and sister in Christ, whether I like it or not. Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? Yeah, we're bound by the Holy Spirit, that we're family. Yes. Families live life together, don't they? They just don't attend something, they live, they celebrate together. Yeah, we like to celebrate in worship, we celebrate together. Yeah, we encourage each other. When something good happens, we celebrate together. We encourage each other. Do you know what? I want all my family to succeed. Yeah, I want my blood family to succeed, and I want my church family to succeed in life, in their relationship with Christ, in discipleship, all these things. Yeah. Encourage one another. We take pride in each other's achievements, don't we, in family? Yeah. I'm so proud of a lot of you guys. Yeah. Yeah, take pride, don't we? We mourn together. It's okay for churches to mourn. We can be sad. Yeah, we mourn together when we lose one of our own. It's really sad, but do you know what? We can take joy because we know that they're with Jesus in our family, don't we? Yeah, but it's okay. We mourn together. We succeed together. Yeah, we succeed together. Isn't that fantastic? If one hurts, we all hurt. We really do as a family, don't we? You know, you'll know in your personal families, when a child is hurting, we all hurt. In families, you have to forgive each other because you will hurt each other. You might not want to, but that's family life. Isn't it, Abigail? Yeah. We do. We need to forgive each other. Abigail needs to forgive me very often. Families have their own characters and traditions and the ways of doing things. And that's okay. Different families are different. So in the cathedral, their family will do things slightly way different we do. It takes on the characters. We have our own traditions. Yeah, I always remember when we first got married, I lived in a house at Sainsbury, which I was already living in before I got married. And I'd put all the things in the kitchen in the cupboards the way that my mum had put them in the cupboards. Exactly, in the wrong places. So I went to work one day and came back, and Lisa moved in because we obviously got married, and she rearranged all the cupboards and put them in the right places where they remain today. But very, very similar, I'm always surprised, of how her mum and dad have her things in the kitchen. So, but that's a family tradition, isn't it? So they go, and characters are doing things. You develop family traditions. We have a silly tradition of Buddy the Elf that comes out at Christmas and makes us do nice things. We now have Buddy the Dog, who we're going to dress up at Christmas and probably do the same. But you have traditions that are core to your families and ways that of doing things. Some of them are core. So in our family, communion is core. Yeah? Baptism is core. The Bible, the truth of Scripture is core. Worship is core. Family is core. But they're traditions, yeah? And they're important. But that's what families have. In families, we're all different, aren't we? We're all different. And it's so good that we're different. So Lisa is far more organised than me. Far more. So she really sorts everything out. Abigail is very... Amy loves rules. Yeah. So Reuben loves sports. Yeah. I don't like... all. So families are different, but they all come together as one, don't they? Yeah, that's glorious. Think about your family. So we're all different. We all have different gifts, different abilities, different interests in the church. But we're still family. We're not all the same. That's great. Do you know what? In families, you kind of have to tell the truth, don't you? Because they know you too well. Yeah? You do. In families, you're forced to deal with problems, aren't you? Because you have to, because you're at such close proximity that you have to deal with problems. They won't go away. That's where problems get dealt with, in family. Families sometimes fall out and can be annoying. They do. In families, you irritate each other sometimes, don't you? But that there's still family. There's still family. Do you know what? You don't make appointments to visit your family, do you? Yeah? There's not a great deal of structure in family. If you want to go visit your dad, or if I want to talk to Lisa, I'll tend to go talk to her, or if I want to see somebody, there's not a lot of structure. Yeah, there's not a lot of rigidness, a lot of organisation. Do you know what, guys? If you want to meet together and enjoy each other's company, like at football, whatever they were doing, just do it. You don't need a management structure to do things. Just get on with it and be family. Be Christian family. Yeah? Somebody once said that the church should be more like a business. I'm like, that is horrible. It's a terrible idea. Church should not be like a business. It should be like a family. Yeah. God didn't set up a business. God set up a people. All through Scripture, it was a family. On the flip side, there are different roles in family. There's mum, there's dad, there's kids, there's grandmas, there's brothers, there's sisters, and they all have a different role to play and a different part to play. So there is structure in families. Yeah, it's very, very important. Same with the church. Often families go on a mission together, don't they? Yeah. So Pete brought Beth and all the kids from Lincoln to Blackburn on a mission to Blackburn. Thank you, Pete. That was very good. Yeah, but you do. So if you go somewhere, yeah, you work together and you all do it, don't you? Also, we will go on holiday together. Yeah, we will do this thing together. We will do that together. Do you know what? Interestingly, catching fish like they would have done. We always thought, be fishers of men. And we imagine somebody with one individual with a rod and one line to catch fish. You know what? Fishing was a family occupation. So you need it. So I love what Silvana said last week. You need somebody to catch the fish. You need somebody to skin the fish. You need somebody to descale it. Somebody to mend the nets. And that would have been done within family. Yeah, so are we fishers of men? We need family to do it, don't we? Church family. Salvation is a team sport. It's a family occupation. So the people of Israel, a family, was charged to take the land. So it wasn't just Moses and Joshua on his own. They didn't say, Joshua, on your own, what I need you to do is go take this land. He took it with his people. He took it with the people of God, the people of Israel. If we want to take the land in Blackburn, the kingdom of God, we need to do it as a people. It's really, really important. What we do as families can have eternal consequences down the generations. How we act as a family has eternal consequences down the generations. Healthy families tend to grow. So the people of Israel, God blessed the people of Israel in Exodus, and they had like loads of children, and they just grew exponentially. They tend to grow, don't they? Healthy families. Healthy families allow others to come and join their family very often. So one of my greatest people I know is Lisa's auntie and uncle, and they always have what they call a waif and stray around dinner. So they have their family, but they almost adopt people, and almost they almost like become part of the family, and it's amazing to watch. But that's what happens in families, like good families. So often people in families leave to go start new families. Yeah. So at some point, our young people will start to go, or some of our young people are at university and will get married. But so our young people, as they grow, they will probably go to university or go somewhere or to college, and then they'll set up their own new families. Yeah? Wouldn't it be good? It's a bit like church planting, isn't it? If so, we grow up and we go and have new families. It's exciting, isn't it? God was part of a people. And I've chopped a lot off what I was going to say. Yeah, he really, really was part of a people. And do you know what? We're designed. God designed us by his grace to be part of a community and part of a family. So Adam was no good on his own until God created a helper and a companion for him. And then there were children that came along. We're designed to be part of a church family and a community. And actually, community and family, if you deal with the problems of this country, most of them are caused by lack of connection and lack of community. Yeah, they are. So Angela's nodding her head as a GP. Yeah, most of it is to do with, because we've isolated ourselves, haven't we, in this culture, because we think money is more important and work is more important. But actually, community is so important to everything. Yeah. And we're the community of God. God has graced us with family. Is that good? That is so good. So how do you view the church? The church is very, very many things, but it certainly is not something that you just attend. Yeah, and my prayer is Community Church Blackburn is it grows in family, grows in community. That's the way that God designed it. Yeah, it grows in love for one another, grows in every way that families grow. And that's God's plan. It is God's plan. Yeah, and I think Luke, in this portion of scripture, was stressing that he's part of God's community. Yeah, and we're part of God. We've got that Holy Spirit in us. But also, we're part of a people. Is that not exciting? Brothers and sisters in Christ, not just in this room, but across Blackburn, across Lancashire, across the world, across countries. We're a people of God that give him glory. Is that not good? That is so, 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 so good. I have nothing else to say. Nothing else to say today, yeah? But again, you were praying right, Philippa. Yeah? Part of a family. Yeah, part of a community. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back to Angela. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that church family was your plan. Community is your plan, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your grace. We give you glory for the fabulous idea of family and community. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you came to earth, were part of a family, Lord Jesus. You grew up in a family. You were part of a community with the disciples, part of the believers and all the things that we've talked about, Lord Jesus. We just praise your name because you are amazing and glorious, Lord. And it was your idea. Lord, we thank you for the church. Lord, we pray that we grow in all those, being body, being lampstands, being the temple, being all these things that we've talked about, Lord, but just grow us through love, loving one another as your family, your people, Lord Jesus. We just really, really give you all the glory, all the praise, all the worship. Amen.